Greetings, fellow travelers with Jesus. It's another day of walking through the month of May in the Gospel of Mark. It's May 17th, which makes this our 17th episode. We are now towards the end of chapter 11, and we'll be finishing that up today and going on into chapter 12. So let's start getting ourselves ready and prepared for what the journey may bring to us. Remember the last thing Jesus said to us yesterday. It's chapter 11, verse 25. He said these words, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." This theme that forgiveness is such a vital part of the surrendering of the self-will that's so important to carrying the Spirit of Christ with us. I don't know, I thought about those last words from yesterday all night, and they're still with me today. But I know Jesus has a whole nother lesson in store for us today. We'll be traveling with him to some different places, and I'm getting ready now. I'm drinking the traditional green tea with a couple drops of 2% milk. Especially good this morning. Needed that. The myrtle and thyme candle is still churning away. The window's open. It's a world covered with a layer of wetness here in Arthur, Illinois. But the birds are out. They've risen and they're shining. The monks are at a nice, perfect, mellow tone. Get your bag. Get your sandals. We're going to come back into Jerusalem. So here we go. Chapter 11, verse 27. Again, they came to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do them?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Answer me." They argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But shall we say of human origin?" They were afraid of the crowd, for all regarded John as a truly prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave to them. This one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one they killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat, others they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was amazing in our eyes. When they realized that he had told this parable against them, they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowd. So they left him and went away. Then they sent to him some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it." And they brought one. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." And Jesus said to them, "Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at him. And that concludes our walk today with Jesus. Back into Jerusalem, teaching, meeting up with his opponents, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, whatever the Gospel of Mark chooses to call them. Always out to get him. And yet, the story continues, just as God has it planned. Well, let's settle in now and hear it again, as if for the very first time. Clear the mind, take all the clutter out of the baggage, and let's just focus on this one day, this one set of stories, with this one Lord and Savior, and see how God speaks to us today. Again, they came to Jerusalem. So as you can tell now, they're coming back and forth into Jerusalem day by day. They're commuting, in a sense, mostly from Bethany, it appears, but they're coming back in and out of Jerusalem, probably just because Jerusalem is filled up with pilgrims during this time. Maybe also because it'd be a little tense for Jesus to try to stay there. But they came to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, so he's back to the temple again, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. Well, that sums up his opponents right there. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do them?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Answer me." They argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But shall we say of human origin?" They were afraid of the crowd, for all regarded John as truly a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." So here in plain language is one of the major themes and questions of the Gospel of Mark, and that's authority. By what authority is Jesus doing these things? We already talked about that in a Wednesday night discussion group, that he was doing it by the authority of a prophet named John the Baptist who announced his coming. He's doing that by the authority of God in heaven, who, when he rose up from his baptism, God spoke, and the transfiguration showed us who God was. That's an authority of God. He's doing it by the authority of his deeds and words. They're all in sync together. So you have to look at the whole picture to understand the authority, which of course the scribes and the chief priests and the elders will not do. All they see is an opponent to their power, their status, and their prestige. That's all they see, a threat, just as they did with John the Baptist. So Jesus put it back on him. What about John the Baptist? And they refused to answer, because I think they kind of knew the truth, but they knew the truth would condemn them. And if they said, John the Baptist does these things from heaven, it opens up the gate for Jesus to be validated, of course, and his authority to be confirmed. So we had him in a pickle, and they backed away and said some of my favorite words that we can ever say when we're trying to learn something in the Bible. We do not know. On we go. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. And when the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave to them, this one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one they killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat, others they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally he sent him to them, saying, they will respect my son. But those tenants said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was amazing in our eyes. When they realized that he had told them this parable against them, they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowd, so he left them and went away. So here we have, interesting, a parable immediately after a teaching. Jesus' authority is questioned, and he talks to them about what authority did John the Baptist come with. And then he gives us a parable which takes it even deeper, which takes their failure to recognize who this is even to a deeper level. This is the beloved Son. So Jesus is basically giving us here what in the first 12 verses of the chapter 12, a summary of the use of prophets in the Old Testament to tell the people of Israel what God is going to be doing, right? That's what this is. This is about God sending all these prophets, all these angels, all these people with authority from God about what God will be doing when he sends his son, and they refused continuously to believe those prophets, those words of prophetic value. And finally, he sends the son. And what a foreshadowing it is, because they know this son is the heir, they know in their hearts, but he's such a threat that they still kill him. And that is the summary and foreshadowing of what's about to happen. Then they sent to him some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. The feeling now is that arresting him is even of a greater urgency, because he's making it clear the power and authority he has. So they might have saved one of their best ones. And let's get him with the paying taxes thing. So his enemies show up to trap him in what he said. And they came to him and said, teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Okay, so they've kind of, it's on one hand, it's the complete and honest truth about who Jesus is, and they're using it, right, as severe sarcasm to say that we believe everything you are. So is it lawful to pay taxes to an emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not? But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it. And they brought one. And then he said to them, Whose head is this and whose title? And they answered, The emperor's. And Jesus said to them, Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. And they were utterly amazed at him. For me, this story simply says this. Each person makes their own decision about what part of their earthly life, possessions, everything they have, the time. Each one makes their own decisions about how much they're going to give to the world and how much they're going to give to God. So how do you define what God actually owns and what the world actually owns? Well, in our hearts, we know that God created everything. There's nothing that exists that isn't God's to begin with. And therefore, the choices we make throughout our life reveal how much we've claimed for ourselves and how much we're willing to surrender to God. And thus ends our journey for today. But before we go, let's hear from Jesus. He's coming over. I know he's going to lay something on our hearts that's going to be important. Here he is. Let's listen to him. As you sit quietly in my presence, remember that I am a God of abundance. I will never run out of resources. My capacity to bless you is unlimited. You live in a world of supply and demand, where necessary things are often scarce. Even if you personally have enough, you see poverty in the world around you. It is impossible for you to comprehend the lavishness of my provisions, the fullness of my glorious riches. Through spending time in my presence, you gain glimpses of my overflowing vastness. These glimpses are tiny foretastes of what you will experience eternally in heaven. Even now, you have access to as much of me as you have faith to receive. Rejoice in my abundance, living by faith, not by sight. And that concludes Another Day with Jesus, episode 17 of Mark in May. Today we have our 10 a.m. Facebook Live service. If you're hearing this before then, be sure and catch us. And if you're hearing it afterwards, I hope you enjoyed it. And also, a personal request from the pastor. Please lift up prayers for my mom, Lois, who is in Sarah Bush Lincoln Hospital having her ankle repaired, her broken ankle, a very severely broken ankle. So she's going to have a cast on that and some therapy, but other than that, all is well, and we are blessed by God for that. Amen. And may God bless the remainder of your Sabbath day today, and we'll speak again tomorrow.